Robert, the significance of these huge, giant creatures that might have been in North America, what might that be?
Well, let me start with just a short conclusion to where we left off.
All right.
Which is that we have to understand that as I was following these Spanish trails and realizing these were actual very, very, very ancient roads, very ancient highways. And our records of them really come from the Spanish documents. And the point was the Spanish were extremely accurate. They were not just haphazard. It is astounding how accurate they were.
I mean, if you picked up these instructions, you might be able to follow them, you're saying.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
You can have, it's probably more accurate than a Rand McNally map.
All right. That's pretty good.
Going into the significance of these red-haired beings, well, we can go to many different places with that. We can go to Tor Heyerdahl, where he was sitting on Easter Island and trying to figure out where these red-haired people might have come from.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he talked about red-haired people there. And that these giant statues that they had these stone caps that were put on them that were red. They were made out of red stone. Okay, that didn't come from there. And he was wondering, like, where could these guys have come from? Where could this have happened? And he's sitting there, you know, despaired and trying to figure out where he's going to get his next funding to continue this outrageous search. And he's cutting a pineapple. He goes, wait a minute. Pineapples. Pineapples don't come from here. Pineapples come from South America. Okay, so he follows the route back there, and he follows it back to the Inca. The Spanish records, they talk in great detail about tall beings with red hair that were the high-born Inca. These people become the Viracocha.
Now you're saying that these conquistadors witnessed these people while they were still alive?
Yes.
Wow.
It's in their journal.
Okay.
And you know, your journals are what I'm relying on. I can only rely upon what was written.
Understand.
From an eyewitness contact. They speak about these tall beings. They have drawings of them. It's all in my book. When they asked the Inca, who are these people? The Inca said, well, these are the Viracocha. Okay, well, that gets us into a place of, well, what's Viracocha? Well, Viracocha, theoretically, the way we understand it through education today, Viracocha was a very tall, giant Inca god, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But Viracocha was what they called the people. And the people were very tall, red-haired. They're the ones who built the city to the sun in Peru.
Sure.
They had giant statues and everything. And one day, these people disappeared, and they went down to the coast, and they disappeared. There was all this war going on, and they went off in their ships, okay? Well, they go off in their ships, and so Thor Heyerdahl goes, well, they went off in their ships. The Viracocha had to go come here. Where would they have gone? There was no other place for them to go.
Well, what kind of ships are we talking about, Ron?
Well, we're talking about ships that are very similar to Egyptian ships, ancient Egyptian ships.
So you're not talking about spaceships?
Not yet.
Ah.
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
Not yet. We'll get there.
I shall not jump ahead.
You know, the way to go to outer space is to find out where you are.
Yeah, that's true.
And like, you know, I can go there and I can talk about all of that, and it's like, well, you know, but how does that relate to where we are? I mean, there's some amazing things I've seen. But, okay, so they went off on their ships. They took off. So, again, here with the Inca, we have the story of the Viracocha, the tall, red-haired people. And then all over America, we have these stories. Atlantis, I haven't gotten there yet, George.
Okay.
I don't know if it's Atlantis, but I'll say this. Based on the time periods, these same people could have lived there.
They could, well, maybe. How about this? How about this? Here's my take. I have always heard that those from Atlantis went in several different directions when that continent was sinking. Some might have gone to Egypt. Some may have gone to South America. Some may have gone to North America.
Oh, that's true.
Then what if the island, Robert, had already sunk, but these people were those descendants, were really Atlanteans, and they're the ones who got to North America or got to South America? Very possible.
It is totally possible. And it's also totally possible that they were one and the same people, and they intermingled with each other on a very casual basis, on an everyday basis.
Yes.
Everywhere that I've gone, again, you know, I'm approaching this stuff as an archaeologist. So when I go in there, it's like, you know, I really don't care about the Spanish gold and stuff like that. I mean, if that's what I cared about, I would be very wealthy right now. We'd have our own television station, okay? It's like, what is the story? How do these things connect? It becomes an obsession. And these giant beings, well, okay, let's approach it this way from the beginning. If we go back to ancient biblical stories, okay, if we go back to Judeo-Christian doctrines and Judeo-Christian writings, and not all of those writings have been presented to us the way they were in their original form. If we go back to the Dead Sea Scrolls, and we touch on the stuff that Zechariah has worked on, and we touch on the Sumerian, and I found the very same sculptures and reliefs that you would find in Iraq here in America.
That's pretty dramatic.
Okay. We don't have all the time in the world, but we have 3 hours to try to go through this. So if I go back to that, they talk about these giant beings. They talk about fallen angels, you know, these wonderful terms, the sons of God. And probably one of the most articulate works is on a book that was not put in the Bible. The Bible, again, before we go a little further, one more thing. What I'm talking about is historical, archaeological, scientific fact. I'm not talking about faith.
Okay,
so everybody's faith is sovereign. And in a strange way that we might not have time to go into tonight, everybody's correct. But there's more to the whole picture. There's much more to the whole picture. And the scientific evidence is overwhelming. So we go here and we have these giant beings. And these giant beings have, they moved underground.
Well, first of all, why did they leave the region they were in North America? Why did they either go underground or get in these ships? What happened?
Who said they left?
Ah.
Well,
I thought you said they got into their ships.
What we have is, for instance, I have a particular group of metal rings. That's what I call them, the metal rings.
Mm-hmm.
These rings have been shown to be written in ancient Numidian text, ancient Berberian text, and Celtiberian text. Most of what I'm looking at would be Numidian. Now, again, here's a problem when you find these ancient texts. When you find these ancient texts, and they're inscribed all over the place, on rocks, all over the place, on metal plates, on stones. What happens is quite often we find them written in two or three languages. And so the academians would say, well, this is obviously, you know, a forgery. Somebody wrote this because how could this be? Well, okay. You have, who were these people? Okay, the whole thing is, who were these people? This is what Daniel and I have been going after. Who were these people? Well, these people, the people who we found, who we're finding, who we're about to bring out to the world, were, and as you get to the pictures later, they're not entirely human. As a matter of fact, we even have done some DNA testing, but not enough. And the DNA testing shows that this, quote, unquote, it shows many strains of DNA that is common among Homo sapiens sapiens. However, there are other strains that we cannot quite calculate. I said, well, what do you mean by you can't quite calculate it?
Yeah, and how often?
And they said, well, by all determination, it's dolphin.
Dolphin?
Yes. And I said, oh, okay. Now to a scientist who does not understand or read or take time to go into metaphysical things or spiritual things, they would go, well, that's absurd, that's ridiculous. What do you mean, dolphins?
Dolphins on
land. But if you go into the ancient metaphysical things, we're all told about, in the ancient legends, about how the original beings of this earth came from the water.
That's true.
And wherever we go in the ancient writings and symbolism, we see these pictures of dolphins. And so I'm going, oh, well, thank you for telling me that. These are the kinds of things that are coming up with the forensic testing.
And we also know the dolphins have tremendous intelligence.
Dolphins are incredible. I mean, dolphins use their whole brain. We don't use our whole brain. Einstein used less than 10% of his brain. Dolphins integrate the whole thing. They don't have the split in the actual physical brain. Their brain is still totally connected. They're extremely intelligent. And they also work off of mainly emotion. And when you get down to emotion in a metaphysical sense, well, does God speak to us in words, or does God speak to us in emotions?
Well, I think he speaks to us in emotions.
You know, I agree with you totally. It's like how we know when we've had an epiphany or a what, or we're praying, or we're doing whatever we're doing, and we're praying to God or whoever our God may be, how we realize that we've made contact is through an emotional feeling.
So are you saying, though, that perhaps some of these beings might have evolved from dolphins?
I'm saying that the DNA testing showed that there was not only the strains of DNA. You know, there's a chain. There's a whole chain that
absolutely.
They follow. It's like a code, you know.
We're 99.4%.
They go, well, okay, this code works, but there's this other code that's overlaid. And this other code that's overlaid would be similar to everything that we can see. The only thing that it points to is a dolphin.
Yeah, it's more similar to that than this.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so, what, you know, on a scientific level, that's showing us that there was obviously some sort of genetic merging